open your Bible, if I open this one, you go to the very beginning, and if you're not familiar with the Bible, you'll have the preface, you know, this is owned by so-and-so, published by this person, here's all the little notes, and then there's an index, and then you get to the very first line of the Bible in the book called Genesis, chapter 1 and verse 1, and it says, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. And it's really important as Christians that we start with in the beginning, God. Most of us reference our existence by 100 different things, maybe 1,000 different things. But it's not always clear to us that our whole existence is based on God. I had the privilege of traveling to South Africa, which is the land of my birth. It's where I was born. It's where I grew up. And you can hear that from my accent, and let's not talk about cricket. But I grew up in Africa, land of my birth. It was the place where I began. But it's not really the essence of where I find myself beginning. Because my life and your life begins in God. And it's all about Him, and it begins in Him. So in the first verse of the Bible is the essence of everything of our Christian faith. And I was reading an article by a guy called Johnny Gibson, who's a professor of theology at Westminster Seminary, and he put out 12 points about the essence of who God is. And he didn't claim them to be unique, because if you go to any of the 200 different systematic theology books you'll find on a shelf in a library, they contain all of these points. And I wanted to just stop for a moment and remind you, without going into a theological exercise or lesson, about who God is. And Johnny Gibson put up, at the end of his article, he put a little summary statement about who God is. And so I've asked Ashley, I've put it up there, and I've got it in my big print so that my eyes should be able to see it. And I don't know if you can read that. If it's too small for you, let me read this. God is one spirit, eternal, infinite, unchangeable, self-existent, living and immortal in His being, the omnipotent, omniscient, creator and sovereign of all things in heaven and on earth, of all things visible and invisible. God has remained the same in eternity past, and He will remain the same in eternity future. Now, I'm going to ask Ash just to leave that up there, and I'm going to kind of work my way through a couple of those words, and I hope not to labor on it, because I worked it out, there's 12 words, and if I do like 4 minutes on each word, that's only 48 minutes, and you'll be dead by then. It's far too hot for that. But let me start by this. There is, in the beginning, God. Before anything else, God. For us as finite creatures trying to get our heads around things like this, it is way too big. Because we only know things from our perspective. So God comes and He reveals Himself to us. There is but one God. Not made by men, but existing outside of ourselves. He is a spirit, which means that He's not made of the stuff we know. So God is not made out of matter or energy. God is beyond that, because space and time and matter and energy are all things that God created. And we live in a realm under His creative power. He is spirit. And before anything was, God was. And everything that you and I ever know and can ever know is a revelation of who he is. And he has come to show himself to us. He's eternal, which means he has no beginning and he has no end. Nobody made God. God is God. He's beyond all of creation. Go a little bit further down that, which means that not only that, he's infinite, because everything in creation is finite. It has a beginning, and it will in due time have an end. And because God is infinite, so with him comes all manner of wisdom and knowledge that we could not even begin to know. So every time one of our great scientists, and I really appreciate the amazing scientists we've got in the world today, people that can do incredible things, teach us all about physics and medicine, and they're achieving incredible things for us. But in every part of their research, in every part of their delving and searching and knowing and understanding, they're simply discovering more of who God is and what he has made. Because God is God alone, and he's eternal, and he's spirit, he is also unchangeable. He doesn't change. He doesn't have a good idea and then mess it up and fix it up later. He is unchanging, which means he's entirely trustworthy for us. We live in a world where everybody's changing everything all the time. Do you know that God is life? That before God created anything, all of life is in him. And when he created, everything he created was filled with his life. He is living. He's active. He's involved in his creation. He is life. And as I just look around the room and I look at all of us together, isn't it an incredible gift to think that I'm alive? I have life. I'm not dead. Some days, I'm not that old, but some days I wake up and I feel like maybe I'm not quite so alive anymore. You know, when I walk and I find there's a few creaky muscles and a couple of joints that don't work. But you know what? There's a joy in being alive, because God has given life to all his creation. But that comes from the fact that God is alive. He is filled with life. He is filled with love. All his attributes are on display in his creation. He is our creator. And he made everything. It says, and if you go and read in that text that I read to you earlier on, it says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you know, the English language is amazing, as are many other languages. But that's a little thing called a merism, which says it's like taking two extremes, you know, the heavens and the earth and everything in between. It's like when I'm looking for my specs that I've misplaced, usually on top of my head. And I look high and low. You know that one saying? High and low. And it's a real boy look and I never find them. But God says when he created everything from the heavens to the earth. And that was simply the writer trying to express the full extent of everything that was made. And I'm not about to go into a creation story, and you know, there's lots of conversations we can have about all of these things. But what I do know this is that at the extent of all our searching and all our theories and all the things that we look at the beyond that moment, there is God. Not only is he the creator, he's the omnipotent, omniscient creator. Nice theological words, which means he's absolutely all-powerful. He's not restricted by anything or anyone. He does what he chooses. All-powerful. And omniscient means all-knowing. Doesn't need anyone to help him with a little bit of insight and knowledge, because he knows. because all wisdom and knowledge are in God and found through Him. And of course, that leads us to that last little word that's up there, that He is the creator and sovereign of all things, which means that He has not delegated powers to others and He has lost His power. He remains the God of all creation with power, with authority over all things. And you know, we might say, well, then why did God allow this and why did God allow that and how did this go wrong and where did that go wrong? And there's lots of answers for those things, but none of them will diminish the fact that God has power over all things. You know that the air you breathe today is a gift from Him. And the spirit that makes you an alive being inside of you comes from Him. And that at any time, He can take that from you. And there are days when He comes to a person and He says, and today you're coming to Me. And they cease to be on this planet as matter in time and space. We love life, but life comes from God and goes to God and belongs to Him. So God is one spirit, eternal, infinite, unchangeable, self-existing, living and immortal in His being, omnipotent and omniscient, creator and sovereign of all things in heaven and on earth, of all things visible and invisible, right down to nanoparticles that exist in the realms of places I can't even begin to understand. Verse 2 of this chapter goes on a little bit, and it says that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Introduces in those two verses two very important concepts for us on top of the idea that God is God and He is one and He is over all things. We actually discover that God actually speaks by the word. He has a word. He says something and that actually happens. Then there's power that works. We also hear that as God's power works, that the Spirit of God is actively in the process of working through that. Now, I'm not about to do a whole Trinitarian theology lecture in this one, but know this, that God is at work in ways that are so important for you and me, is that He not only spoke to us in creation, but He spoke to us by His own voice, speaking to us by the Holy Spirit into our spirit, so that we can understand and hear Him, but spoken to us by His Son, Jesus. And when we say Son, we mean that God Himself came to earth, took on human form, and became a man so that the image of God might be represented, that we might understand something of who God really is. And so when I look around the room and I see all of you in all our differences and all the multiplicity of who we are, I recognize that in every single one of us, there's an image, an imprint, a fingerprint of your Creator who's on your life, who has never not had His hand over you. And the purpose of God's creation, the purpose of what He has done right from beginning, before even anything was made, that He is relational, that He can be known and wants to be known. And so He created all things so that He might enjoy them and love them and respond to them. And He made creation so that creation might enjoy Him. So when the birds are singing, they're actually singing a song not for themselves. Maybe they think they are, but they're actually worshiping God. They don't even realize that, you know. When you look outside and you see the beauty and splendor of a world all around you that's fascinating in its complexity and its smallness and in its great majesty, It's because that is a reflection of how good and great and majestic God is. And when I look at you or I look at myself, I see sometimes things I'm unhappy with, but I know this, that He sees me and He made me for Himself. He made me for a relationship with Himself. Now, I haven't read through the whole of Genesis 1 because there are a few things we're going to unpack over the next weeks and months that'll come not just out of Genesis, but through the Scriptures, where we show that Jesus was involved in all of creation. From the very beginning, Jesus has been involved. From the very beginning, God has been at work in every part of life on this planet and in the cosmos. And He is, because He is God, He is able to have His eye on every single one of us and at the same time fulfill His purpose for us. That relationship that God wanted and wants with every single living creature continues to be held out to all of us. And so when God made things that are good, He made them very good, it says in the Scriptures. He made them pure. He made them right. And all of His attributes are seen in His creation. Excuse me, the air conditioner's getting me. And so I have, from this pulpit, on a number of occasions, spoken about who we are in relationship to God. This God, this one God, this amazing spirit being who's omnipotent, all-powerful, sovereign over all things, made you. Made me. So I have some things I want to point out to you again. Number one, you are a created being. Just let that sit on you for a moment. You are a created being. That means you were made by God for a purpose. You're not an accident. You're not a byproduct of some chemical processes. You're not a throwaway creation. You are valuable. You are created by God. And I had the sense that sometimes I say a thing like that, and then you get tested on that. Well, am I really so good? Am I really? Does God really care about me? And I have to say this to you, God cares about you. He made you. And He has an ownership claim over you because He is your creator. Not only did He make you, He made you in His image. And when it talks about image, what it really means is that He made you of the kind of stuff that represents who He is. So at your best moments, at your highest and purest thought, at your most loving and kind response, you're reflecting a little bit of who God really is. The greatest saints you've ever heard of are reflecting a little bit of who God is. When we read in the Bible about who Jesus was, what we see is that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, if you read that in Hebrews chapter 1, that in Him all the fullness of God dwelt in bodily form, as it says in Colossians 1. And we are made of the same kind of stuff that can actually represent who God is. He determined where you should live, how you should be born, what you're made of, and what you're capable of, and He has put that into you. And do not let anyone or anything else define who you think you are. We live in a world where everybody's trying to shape everyone else. Everybody's trying to tell you what you should be, shouldn't be, can be, can't be. Everyone's trying to give you lots of permission to be all kinds of things, which is just totally confusing, when in fact God is coming to us this morning through his word and saying, I, God, creator, sovereign over all things, made you. And I made you like me, out of my image. And I made you of the kind of stuff that can represent me. That should help you enormously in the face of all the things that go on around us. Third thing, it comes out of God being omniscient, eternal, all of these other things that are, you can go back to that scripture. You can take a photograph of that if it helps you. Maybe the other one. The third thing is this, because God is eternal and because he is omniscient and because he is constantly watching over his creation. And when I say to you, you are made in the image of God as a created being, I need to add to that, that you are constantly under his watchful and loving gaze. There's not a moment when he's not watching over you. There's not a second of a day in your whole life that he has not got his eye on you with intent, with purpose, with love, with grace and mercy available if you will reach out and just take it. He loves you and he's watching out for you and he's got his eye on you. And then the fourth thing he made you for is he made you for a worshipful relationship. You're made of the kind of stuff that worships. You worship without even trying. You give value and you I don't know, is that me clicking? Okay. You give value. You add, you pour out from your soul, from the depth of who you are, you pour out worship without even trying. Which is why you so easily get caught up in loving all kinds of different stuff. I just loved boerewors. You don't know what that is. That's South African sausage cooked over a charcoal fire in the afternoon, sitting there quietly eating this stuff. It's amazing. If I leave my heart to that, I'll just love that without loving God. But because I love God, I look at these things that he's given me and I say, oh, my first response is, God, you're amazing, you're good. Thank you for what you've given. He made you to worship. He made you not to put your attention on yourself, not to put your attention on things, not to put your attention on other people or on systems or on identities or ideas. He made you to love him, to worship him, to pour your whole life out towards him. And not only did he make you like that, he said, and every time you do that, I will empower you more and more to do that over and over again, and you will find your greatest and deepest satisfaction in joy and joy in loving and worshiping God. That's how you made. And in the midst of all of that, he made us for, I put the words, eternal peace. The Hebrew word is shalom. And what that word shalom really means in its deepest expression, which I can't really fully unpack now, is that peace is when every created thing is in its right relationship, functioning in its proper way with every other created thing. So when Gail and I have been married 46 years, next week, 2 weeks' time. When I am, yeah, that's awesome. But when I'm in relationship with her in such a way that I'm being the man I should be and she's being the woman she should be and we meet each other in this deep relationship of covenantal love, peace fills our home. Because God's made it that we should be one together. When your life is joined to God in the way he planned and purposed, he brings himself close to you and he draws you right into his heart and he embraces you and he loves you and he brings about a transaction in your heart and your life, which is the peace of God that passes all your understanding. that goes beyond your intellect, goes beyond your emotions, and it settles you in your knowledge of I am one with Him, and He loves me, and I love Him, and the peace of God rules and reigns in your life. And chaos can happen right around you. You can get sick, your body can collapse, you can go through anything that this world might actually throw at you, but you in your spirit know that you are one with Him and you have peace. You are made for peace. And because you are made for peace, because you are made as a created being who is an image bearer of God, who lives under His loving, watchful grace, you can worship Him, you can turn to Him, and you can accept and receive all that He has for you and know the peace of God. And as you know the peace of God, it's like a new year every single day, isn't it? Because it's like a new beginning all the time. Because for God, there is no new beginning because He never changes. And He's calling us to never change with Him. Of course, we're changing. We're growing. We're understanding more. We're loving Him more. We're starting to find our purpose, and we understand our identity is actually locked up in Him, not in us, or not in the world, and not in the things we have, not in the way people think about us. But we find ourselves at rest and at peace in Him. How do we find this? How do we know this? Well, every day you get an opportunity for a fresh start. Sorry, Raymond. Raymond's very astute, thank you. You've got an opportunity today, like I have, like I've enjoyed this morning already, a fresh day, a new start. What happened last year will probably have ramifications for this year. I wanted to be thin this year, it didn't happen. When it was in South Africa, we went up to the mountains, and there's this pass in the mountains called the Sani Pass. It goes up to one of these massive high points, and on the way there are waterfalls everywhere, and it's beautiful, it's majestic, it's pristine, and there's a sign on the side of the road, and it says, Fountain of Youth. And there's this waterfall rushing down next to the side. Put my hand out, stop the car, everybody pull over. That's it. I'm out there. Who's coming with me? And they all look like, yeah, yeah. Grandpa, what are you doing? I was like, nah, I'm stripping down. I'm in there. And so I went and I got under the Fountain of Youth. As you can see. But what is this really about? There's a new beginning possible for everyone. There's no reason why this morning you cannot step into that space that I prayed about right in the beginning of this meeting, where we come by the Spirit, in the Spirit, not in our dead flesh, not in our old age and our decrepit thinking, not in the way of how people have defined us, but we come to God, take our spirit, we open our hearts to Him, and He comes by His Spirit, and He pours out His waterfall over us, and He says, I will renew you from the inside out. I will change you from the inner being of who you are, and I will be with you, and you will be with me, and I will give you peace, and you will live. Amen. That is the promise of a new beginning. That promise is fresh every single day. That promise is new for every single person in this room. Are you done with the old yet? Maybe it's time to start again. Maybe, as I read to you from John chapter 3, where Jesus was talking to this man Nicodemus, and He was saying to Nicodemus, you need to be born again. And Nicodemus is a bright man. He's a leader of Israel. And he's kind of like, what do you mean born again? I don't think he didn't quite understand. He said, you know, can I go back in my mother's womb? I don't know if he really was thinking about whether he's going to go back into the womb. But he's thinking, is it possible for a man to become so completely new that he's like a fresh, untainted, pure baby? I have to tell you, yes. that all the tainting, all the damage, all the stuff that's happened in your life to this point that has shaped you, that has marred you, that has scarred you, can be made completely new in Christ. That if you with it will reach out to God, not because I say so, but because God promises this in His Word, if you will reach out to Him, He will come to you. As you draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you. And by faith, receive what He's got for you. He wants to make you new. He wants to take all those old things that are in your mind and in your memory and in your life and in your practices, in the way you've allowed your life to be shaped, and put them aside and then stand in His presence and trust Him to make it new. When that happens, there will be a reset of purpose and destiny in your life. Far too often, we've settled for far too little. C.S. Lewis, and I can't really say the quote out well, I've forgotten, my memory's a bit shot. But his comment was, it's along the lines of, well, we're not creatures that are too passionate. We're actually creatures that are far too unpassionate, too little in our passions. We settle so easily for small things, for little passions, for simple fleshy things that really don't matter. God doesn't want us to be less passionate. He wants us to be way more passionate, totally out there for Him, totally devoted to Him, because His passion for you is unending and unyielding. He wants you to live, truly live in 2023. He wants you to stand on the top of stuff that before was an obstacle and now be ready to move forward with Him. He wants your life to be filled with genuine, pure, true worship. Worship of the one and only God. Devoted to that so that your life can then count for Him. That the image that He's put in you can actually begin to reflect who He really is. And that you can live a life of purpose and destiny and fullness. He wants you to serve Him with everything you've got. He wants you to bear testimony, bear witness. Now that sounds like a super Christian word. But let me tell you, when you go into court and you have to be a witness and you're cross-examined and you have to tell the story of what happened, that's what it means to be a witness. Jesus wants you to serve Him as a witness. He wants you to stand up in the court, stand up in the dock of human opinion, stand up for whatever it is that He's putting in your life and say, this is who I am, this is what I know, this is how I'm living. Not because you have to do it, but because you love Him and you worship Him and you're alive and nothing can stop that from happening in your life. I'm a son of a Christian father. My grandfather was a man who loved God and served Him in amazing ways. And my great-grandfather did too. We've got a Christian testimony in our family. But my testimony is not of my father or of my grandfather or my great-grandfather. My testimony is Jesus is alive in me. And He's done things in my life. And He's overcome things that I've screwed up. And He's fixed them. And He's busy fixing things that I'm still screwing up. And He can do that for you. He's calling you to step forward into this year with faith and with trust. Not in man, not in the preachers, not in Coastlands Church, but in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the sovereign Creator God who stands over all things in your life, visible and invisible, over everything. And He says, will you walk with me rather than get me to come and walk with you? Will you walk with me? And He will take you and He will lead you and He will guide you in His way.